acts of this church, and you'll be blessed for it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, to start off, I love that song. I know that you are for me. And, you know, everyone comes from a different walk of life and has, you know, their story. But for me, my whole life, I felt like everyone was out to get me. I felt like everything was just stacked against me. And so I just love that song because that's God's heart. He's for us. He's not against us.
Turn that.
about Matthew 18:20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. That's Jesus speaking.
Yes.
And so, let's see, we can start our prayer. 1, 2, 3. Okay, well, we're good.
Yeah.
Amen. So, he's going to be here in our midst.
Yeah.
And we know he lives within, but we also know that there's something about all of us coming together.
Yeah.
All of us coming together. But you know, I no one in them. So even in our own city, we have church buildings that are just empty buildings.
Yeah.
And so as I'm talking about this and the physical location of being here, I want to make sure that you are balanced in that and know that it's not really about the walls.
Yeah.
It's not really about the carpet that we're standing on. It's about the heart of the people that are here.
Right.
And the God appointed pastor that is in charge of this work.
Yeah.
Because without the people, it's just an empty building.
Yeah.
And, you know, thinking about that and it just being an empty building, Jesus dealt with that, didn't he?
Yeah.
Do you remember with like the Pharisees and the Sadducees and stuff? They were always concerned about him breaking the law. They're always concerned about the rules. Well, if we're not careful, we do that with the building. And it's all about coming to the building. It's all about being at the place instead of about the people and the heart behind it. Because he said, listen, it's not so much about the law, but this person needs help, and I'm going to bless them.
Yeah.
You know, when Jesus healed different people at different times, he'd get super mad, and, you know, we're going to kill him and all this stuff. And he's like, this person could have used their hand, and now they can. What? Why is that wrong?
Yeah.
You know, this person couldn't see, and now they can see. Why is that wrong?
Yeah.
You know, it's not so much about the four walls. Now that we all come together in the four walls, great things can happen.
Yeah.
And so I don't want to diminish that, but I want to keep you guys balanced in that. And know that without the people, it's still just a building.
Yeah.
Right?
Amen.
And one of the awesome things about having this building is that, you know, there's tons of references all throughout the Bible to us being sheep.
Yeah.
Right? And I kind of thought about that. I thought, I'm really mad at you, but sheep. I don't like animals too much. And, so it's kind of gross, but. But you know, there's a reason that Jesus and, you know, the Bible and all scripture is given for a purpose.
Yeah.
And so if we'll refer to a sheep, then there's a correlation there. And we need to know what it is.
Yeah.
And so the church building is also like our pasture.
Yeah.
It's a safe place for us to roam and graze and be fed. For us to be taken care of. It's a safe.
Yeah,
there's staging here, and if you go outside of that, there's a danger.
Yeah,
there's a danger. You know, and so I've been studying as sheep and everything. One of the key elements to sheep is that they stay together. They're bonded together, and it's, you know, it's talking about how if a sheep goes astray, it's vulnerable. That's the number way sheep are attacked by a predator. Is by going astray, by going off on their own and away from the safety of the pasture, of the safety of the flock, and most importantly, outside the realm of their shepherd.
Yeah.
And so, let's look at this in the Word. I'm sorry for the overhead people, I'm jumping around. I used to do overhead, and I always would tell myself when I was up there that if I ever preached, I was going to go right in order and give my overhead person all the scriptures. And every time I preach, I never even come close to going in order. So sometimes I say things without knowledge. Isaiah 53, starting in verse 6.
Watch the lines.
Four, you
guys.
It says, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. So first of all, let's go back up to verse 6. And we, like sheep, have gone astray. So just like real sheep, we all try to do things our own way. We get to a point where we're like, you know what, I'm just going to go this way. Or, you know, that church business, I'm not really interested in all that. You know, all those religious people, no, I don't really want to be around all those, but neither do we. We want a relationship.
Yeah.
But we try to go our own way. him a safety.
Yeah.
You know, that sheep was out there, and it could have got attacked. It could have caught a disease or whatever, but it's okay. I'm going to take care of that sheep anyway. I'm going to cover it so it can come back into safety, so it can come back in. In verse 7, it talks about how Jesus has a lamb. A lamb is just a baby sheep is brought before the slaughter. You know, a baby sheep didn't do anything to need to be slaughtered. It's not ready to be slaughtered. It's not full grown, you know, but Jesus didn't do anything wrong. He didn't do anything wrong. He was sinless. But yeah, he was still taken to the slaughter. And I like how it says in verse 7, it says, "And as a sheep before her shearers is dumb," and I was meditating on that, and you know, when a sheep gets sheared, it gets all its wool cut off. Now, a good, you know, good sheep farmers and stuff, they'll do that at the right season so that it's a relief to the sheep. And, you know, but if that sheep at the same time it gets sheared decides to go astray, it's very vulnerable. Its skin is not protected anymore.
Yeah.
And how many times has that happened to us? If we all of a sudden try to go out in the world and leave the safety of our church and leave the safety of our pastor, and then all of a sudden we're standing there like, in front of the world, and we're exposed.
Yeah.
That's what happened to that sheep. When it got sheared, all of a sudden it's like, whoa, completely exposed. The sun is suddenly very hot. The wind is suddenly very cold. I can suddenly feel everything because I'm not protected anymore.
Yeah.
And that's what happens to us if we leave the safety of our, you know, our shepherd, and we go outside the pasture and try to be on our own.
Yeah.
We're all of a sudden exposed, you know, and the enemy's waiting.
Yeah.
He's waiting for that sheep that is on its own.
Yeah.
He's waiting for the one that's just been freshly sheared, that's nice and raw and exposed, because now it's available. He doesn't have to fight all that wool, fight all that protection. Oh, no, I'm just going to get it. So you need to find your pasture and your pastor. Glory to God. We're going to look at pastors. We're going to look at why do we have them? Why are they important? What do they do for our lives? Because so often, especially in the denominational world, the pastor is really downgraded. It's really downgraded. It's all about the church body and the board members and committee meetings and all of these people who come together and they make the decisions for the sheep. But that doesn't really line up with the word, and there's a reason. God does everything with purpose and for a reason. You know, he has good plans for us. Good plans for us. And so if we want to experience those good plans, you know, maybe you're here today and you're not experiencing a good life. Maybe you're here today and things aren't always, you know, perfect and sunshine and all of this. Well, welcome to life.
Yeah.
But also know that it doesn't have to be doomsday, like, all the time. You know, it doesn't always have to be the end of the world for you. God said you can have a blessed life here, so let's find out how. Because I know when I was living in the world and I didn't know Jesus and I didn't have a pastor, there was a lot of days where I just didn't want to get up. I didn't want to face the world another day because it wasn't very fun. I wasn't very happy. It's kind of a miserable person. And I was out to make everyone else around me miserable because that's what miserable people do.
Yeah.
And so, you know, but now that I'm under my pastor, I know Jesus, you know, it's not like that. I'm experiencing the blessings of God. So let's find out how. Let's find out how we do that. We're going to turn to Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to look at why we have pastors, why we should follow pastors, and why it's not a good idea for us to think that we're above our pastor.
Yeah.
Think that we have a higher voice than our pastor does. Glory to God. Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 11. It says, "And he, Jesus, gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers." Verse 12, "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." Glory to God. just as important. They're just as important, but they're not your primary caregivers. You know, thinking back on the sheep analogy, you know, the shepherd is the one who cares for the sheep. The shepherd is the one who waters the sheep. He, you know, checks out their vitals, makes sure they're healthy. He cares for them. He guards them. He plans everything out for them to make sure they're taken care of at all times. And, but it's up to him when to bring in the vet. And, you know, the other ministry offices are kind of like getting a call to the vet. Like, okay, well, we need a little fixing here.
Yeah.
We need a little extra here. You know what? Let's look at your diet. Maybe you can eat some different nutrients in there. So we're going to bring in the other specialist to keep it well balanced.
Yeah.
But that's at the shepherd's discretion.
Right. Yeah.
That's at the shepherd's discretion. And so when he orders them to come, you need to be here.
Yeah.
Obviously, the shepherd sees that you need some tweaking here, a little tweaking there, a little fixing over here, and he knows that these different offices are going to bring that full circle for you.
Yeah.
And so he's evaluating his sheep, saying, okay, wait a minute. Okay, well, we need a little of this and a little of that to bring them up to the fullness, to keep them healthy, to keep them flourishing.
Yeah.
And that's the shepherd's job. That's the shepherd's heart. His heart is for the people. He cares for you. He cares for you. And our shepherd is to be, you know, to follow Jesus. Because Jesus is called the great shepherd, the chief shepherd. And so, but in our local body, our pastor is given to be that for us. Amen?
Amen.
So we need to get a hold of this. You know, the Bible talks about how, you know, you smite the shepherd, you scatter the sheep.
Yeah.
It talks about that a few different places. It talks about that. And how many of you know if all of a sudden the church walls fall down and there's no pastor, everyone's just going to run crazy?
Yeah.
Right? If all of a sudden the fence just fell down and everyone's like, spreading farther apart. They're making more of a mess and going in ditches, and it's just craziness. My stepdad, though, he comes home. He walks to the back of the barn, and he says, Kabah! Which means, come, Betsy, come. And all of a sudden, every single one of those houses turned around and walked right back to the barn.
Are we doing that? Do we think we're a sheep?
more than your pastor.
Right.
Point blank.
Yep.
No questions asked. And you might say, well, I'm older than my pastor. Okay. And your point is what?
Yeah.
You know, yes, in the world with our children, that's generally true. However, God has called him, appointed him for this work, which means he's also equipped him with the knowledge to know more than you.
Yeah.
To know what's going to keep you safe.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, it's very interesting. There's also certain breeds of sheep that it says, it said this breed of sheep should not have a novice shepherd because it would be too much for the, you know, they need experience. They need, you know, they need to understand some things. Well, praise God for the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Because that was given to our pastor.
Yeah.
So that he knows how to train you, how to shape you, how to keep you safe, what's good for you, what's not good for you, how to deal with all different types of sheep.
Yeah.
And so praise God, he's fully equipped.
Yeah.
He's been fully equipped.
Yeah.
For the work here and for the sheep that are here to keep you safe. You do not know more than your master.
Yeah.
Am I calling Pastor Tim a master? I don't mean it like, oh man, you know, no. I'm not worshiping a man. I'm not worshiping Pastor Tim. But I'm honoring and reverencing the office that God has appointed him to.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
There's a purpose in it.
Yeah.
He didn't give Pastor Tim to us so that Pastor Tim could be high and mighty.
Right.
That's not the heart of it.
Right.
He gave him to keep us safe.
Yeah.
To keep us protected.
Yeah.
And I know that in my own personal life, I would not be where I am with God and where I'm heading with God if it wasn't for my pastor.
Yeah.
He has kept me safe.
Yeah.
And how many times there's been times where I was real close to getting into danger, and that voice called me back. Come up this way.
Yeah.
Take her over here. Come back over here. I have safety for you. I've got more food for you. Come back over here. Have me safe, Lord my God. Let's continue to read in this though, because I think there's some very interesting things. I was in verse 40, it said the disciple is not above his master. Let's go down to verse 41. Why beholdest thou the mote that's in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that's in thy own eye? Verse 42. Either how can you say to your brother, brother, let me pull out that mote that's in your eye, and then you'll be able to, then thyself behold is not the beam that's in your own eye. I don't have anything wrong with me. I'm perfect, but let me fix you.
Yeah, come on. Come on.
It's a sure sign that you have a big beam in your eye. You, and he says, you hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of your own eye. Work out your own salvation. You shall see clearly to pull out the mote that's in your brother's eye. Listen, if you want to help your brother, because most of us have a good heart, we want to help people. First, fix yourself. Second, always point them towards the house of God. Towards their pastor. You are not their pastor. You are not their sheep leader. You are not the one that's going to change their life. You don't have.
Right.
And if you haven't talked to your pastor about it, then either, first of all, You know, what does Psalms 1:1 say? Seek not counsel from the ungodly. Now, I'm not saying that your fellow brothers and sisters are ungodly, but we need to seek the counsel from the ones who are anointed to help us, from the ones who are appointed to help us. And so, you know, I know Pastor Tim says all the time, you don't need private counsel with him all the time. And that's very true. You do not. Your private counseling is here on Sundays. Special guest ministers are here, and you're praying, and you're seeking God, but you're getting caught on something, that's what your pastor's for. Okay? So I don't want to take it out of balance. You don't need private counseling with him, but that's what he's for. To guide you and keep you from getting astray. To bring you back to the flock. You know, the Bible talks about that. It talks about how if a sheep goes off, that he will leave the other 99 to go get the one. And bring them back to safety. And so, you know, if you're facing something very serious and you just need a little more clarity, have a pastor. It's okay. You know, it's okay. Make sure when you're here, you're taking notes. You're reviewing the things that he's talking about. Make sure when you come, you're listening by the Holy Ghost, not just your flesh. Because he's praying. He's seeking God what to share so that it will be what you need. Hebrews 13, verse 7. day for each of us. And if you add that up, that's a lot of money. And right after we started coming to the church, Chris lost his job. And we had just bought our house. We had made one house payment. And I was like, he doesn't have a job. Or I, you know, and we're like, oh, okay. And we just started coming to the church. And, you know, so we're like, this is crazy. What do we do? And, you know, he sat us down to go over a budget with us and everything. And he's like, quit smoking. Just the thought that it really might help your budget if you quit smoking. We're like, okay. You know, and within a very short time after that, we did. We quit smoking. And, you know, all the glory to God, he delivered us from that. And, but it was sad. Pastor Tim made a comment one day. He said, you know, out of all the people that I've met with it, that that's in their budget, he's like, I think you guys are the only ones that actually listen.
Christ, where's my power?
important. But honor in the Bible means with your finances. And Pastor didn't put me up to this. He's probably cringing that I'm even saying this because he doesn't want the glory. He wants Jesus to get all the glory. But I'll tell you that I'm invested into my man and woman of God. I'm invested into Pastor Tim and Pastor Kate, and it's really hard to go astray that way. And so if you're tempted to go astray, and you're tempted to look elsewhere, and you're tempted to go other places, invest. Because once you're invested, it's a lot harder to leave. It's a lot harder to leave. I'm invested into my man and woman of God. Why? Because I care about them naturally. I care about them spiritually, and I don't want to go astray.
Amen.
I need what they have. I need what God's given them for my life, and I need to stay close. And the more I've invested into them, the harder it is to walk away.
Amen.
It's hard to walk away. I couldn't walk away, not only because of God, but because of them.
Yeah.
You know, and I thought it was really interesting. I was listening to Brother Kevin Durant. I was listening to one of his messages, and he said that he had talked to his pastor. He said the number one people that hurt him the most are the sheep that are closest to him. That should not be. That should not be. Because if we were invested into our pastors, we would not be the ones hurting them.
Yeah.
If we were really listening and obeying the voice that God has given us in this body to keep us safe, we would not be hurting them. You know, and it's the ones that pastor's praying for. He's going to meet with them. He's going to see them. He's counseling with them. And all of a sudden, they're
Reverend Chris had ministered Wednesday and Reverend Crystal this morning, and I was down and getting the word with him, every time I sat down with him, I was so off doctrinally. I was so in error and excess, you know, thinking that I was a prophet to the nations at the age of 21, which is very laughable if you know anything about the word. But anyway, until I had that direction by the word, that one that knew how to use the staff and how to use the rod to correct me, to bring me back by the word of God, that countless hours with Pastor Tim, Pastor Mike Anderson, Reverend Randy, we all sat down with Pastor Michael, and it was time and time again, well, let's see what the word says on this. Let's see what the word says on this. Because there was an individual, now individuals, that had the anointing and the equipment to stand in those offices. So this word is out of the park today. I was fed. I was blessed. And I encourage you. It's so important to know where your local church is and then submit to your man of God. Paul said, follow me as I follow the Lord. You know, and Pastor Tim would gear right up on this, that so oftentimes in this liberal America world that we live in, that everyone's trying to instruct you to be a good leader. But we need to be a good follower. Your greatest strength is coming into your ability to humble yourself and submit to leadership. Amen. That's when your pride goes out the door. That's when your self-righteousness goes out the door. That's when you say and you put a weight on the greater things of submission and serving and your faithfulness. Because it's those things and that equipment that's going to get you into the victorious life. Amen. We have to submit and follow the great shepherd, which is Jesus Christ, and submit under him to walk into what he's already provided for. But it takes his leading and his guidance to do that. He's given us the under-shepherd, Pastor Tim, Pastor Michael, the pastors of the family churches that now are anointed to bring you into that place of victory by the equipment that they have to equip you to live victorious. Amen. So praise the Lord. It's just such an awesome word. Glory to God. We're just going to go ahead and pray. Let's just everybody just close your eyes and bow your head as we pray. Father, we just thank you so much for your word. We're so blessed and we're so fed by the truth that has come forth here this morning. Father, we just purpose in our hearts to stay rooted and stay grounded into our local church, to submit, Father, to our pastor, to be a good sheep, not one with our own agenda, not one with our own will, but, Father, to just humble ourselves, Father, to press into what you have already established and put in place, that we can be fed, that we can be watered, that we can be brought into good pastures of provision, Father. We thank you and we give you the praise in Jesus' mighty name. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, I don't know every single person here. I know that there's some new visitors and guests here with us. And you can hear a message like this and maybe there's some things that are spoken that you can relate to. Maybe you don't have a clue as to how any of this works. But there's one thing that you must understand. That your very first step in your relationship with the Lord is to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You have to understand that without Him, you're held ransom, you're held by the guilt of your sin. And Jesus came and He died and paid the price that you could be forgiven of your sins. In Romans 10:9 it says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. That's what gets you saved or gets you born again, is by confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. It says that in Ephesians 2:8, it says, by grace are you saved through faith. It's a gift of God. Now to receive that gift, that's all you do is you simply receive it. There's nothing that you can do to earn it. There's nothing you can do to qualify yourself for it. It's a gift. You simply come before the Lord with a sincere heart and receive Him as your Lord and Savior. Now if you're here today, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I promise you this, I'm not going to embarrass you, I'm not going to call you down front, I'm not going to make you, stand up and give you a microphone, but it's important that you don't let this opportunity pass by. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, today is your day to accept Him, today is your day to get saved, to get born again, and this is what I'm going to have us do. If you've never made that decision, I'm just going to have you simply lift up your hand. I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down. We'll all pray together and you can accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior right there in your seat. If you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus, can I see your hand right now? Can I see your hand? If you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, don't let this opportunity pass you by. It's so easy. He's made it so easy because price of the debt that we owe. He paid that price. If you're here today and you never accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, can I see your hand? I don't see any hands. Glory to God. So we're all family here today. Let me ask this. If you've made Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life, let me see your hand up in the air. Amen. Every hand should be up in the air. Glory to God. Is every hand up in the air? Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So we are all born again. We are all saved. We are all family here. Glory to God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Father, for your word. Father, we purpose to leave here a doer of your word. We thank you. We're happy and fed in Jesus' mighty name. Glory to God. Can we bring up our confession? Why don't we all stand together as we close here? We're going to bring up our confession here. Our minds have been renewed, haven't they? The word is good. Amen. Let's go ahead and read. 1, 2, ready, read. My mind is renewed. I will live for Christ in the face of trials.